If you would open your Bibles with me to John chapter 15, I'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Once again, John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that bringeth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit is purged it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can it expect ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And good afternoon. It's good to see everybody out today, and hopefully the things I've prepared to present will be profitable to you. Those of you who know me know that I kind of have an odd way of looking at things, and sometimes I make some notes about some things that are maybe a little bit different, or look at it from a little bit different perspective. What I'd like for you to do is keep the analogy that we just read from John chapter 15 in mind, that Christ's statement that he's the vine and his disciples were the branches, of course, is a very well-known comparison that he makes. It is also very misused in the religious world. But we'll look at it a little bit differently today, and we're going to look at it not from the aspect so much of the branches, but we're going to start with the trunk or the vine, and we're going to move out to the branches. But we're going to take a look at some lessons that we can learn from leaves. And what I want to do is give a little bit of background on exactly what prompted this lesson. And that is back in, I'm going to say 2012, it was probably 2011 now. We had a storm over in Kettering that I'm pretty convinced was actually a tornado that just never touched down. The reason why I say that is in mid-July, a storm came through and it just literally ripped through every tree and every house in the neighborhood. There were trees that were uprooted, there were cars that were crushed, there was siding that was pulled loose from houses, and it wasn't just blown off, it was pulled up. And at that point in time, I believe the governor said that he wasn't going to call in FEMA and things like that, and they were going to classify it as straight line winds. But the thing is I really believe we did have some sort of a tornado or some sort of spinning vortex go through, and it did a lot of damage. And in the next several days, we were out of power, I think, for about a week, something like that. But during that period of time, while everybody else is cleaning up wreckage, I made another observation that seems a little bit odd, and that is, there were still leaves attached to the trees. We had all this wreckage and everything else. We had winds that were probably in excess of 60, 70 miles an hour. And even though some of these trees came down, and even though there were branches that were laying in the middle of the street, and even though trees had been uprooted, the leaves didn't go anywhere. Now I got to thinking, it's like, well, is this something I've never really paid attention to? Is it something that everybody else knows and I don't, or what? So since that time, I've been watching storms. Of course, I like to watch clouds anyway. Now, I've been watching storms, and what I've noticed is that a lot of times after a storm, you might find some leaves on the ground, but they're usually attached to some twigs or something like that, and it's a lot more likely that the branches that those leaves are attached to are going to blow off, not the leaves themselves. And I got to thinking about that, and it was really interesting because I started asking a real simple question, and that is, with all the wind and the rain and everything that we get, why don't the leaves just blow off the trees? I don't know if you ever think about that or not, but I started wondering, why don't the leaves just blow off the trees? I mean, if you take a look at a leaf, what is it? It's paper thin, and it just really doesn't seem to have a whole lot of substance, but it's strong. And that little stem that holds it onto the branch or whatever is something that just seems to hold up in a lot. They're very, very resilient. They can withstand a lot. They go through rain. Sometimes they go through hailstorms. They go through a lot of other things. And again, like I said, it's more likely that a branch or a twig or something like that's going to break off than for that leaf to actually blow away. Well, that got me to thinking about Christ's story or his comparison with his disciples, that he's the vine and that his disciples were the branches, and I got to thinking, if we can compare our faith to leaves, that really is a pretty good comparison, because if we really have the faith in God that we need to have, there is nothing that can destroy that faith. There is nothing that can blow it out of our lives. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a look for a few minutes at where that faith comes from, what we need to be, and then we're finally going to get back out to the leaves. I'm going to talk about them, and I'm going to summarize it right now just very simply, and that is that if we are mindful of what God wants us to be, and we have made up our minds to serve God, and we're going to be strong, we will accomplish that. There is nothing that can invade our lives to destroy the faith that we have if we will not let it do that. I will say, though, as we go through this, that I'll point out, and I'll make the statement again and again, that while nothing outside of us can destroy that faith, and I think I'm going to be able to show some book, chapter, and verse on that, we can kill it. We can kill our own faith. We can allow it to die within us. We can become an unproductive branch in the service to God. We can allow ourselves to be affected by the things around us, and those are some decisions and choices and things that we're going to make. So for the next few minutes, we're going to take a look at some lessons from leaves. And the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to go back to the very source of what these leaves are attached to. Now, let's suppose that we go out in the wintertime and we take a look at a tree or a vine or something like that, and there are no leaves on it whatsoever. Well, how do we identify that? Well, first of all, we realize that the trunk of that tree or the trunk of this vine, as Christ was talking about, would be enough to actually tell us what the leaves are going to look like, because there are some very characteristic things about that. Every tree or every vine has a color to it. It has a texture to it. It has a certain type of bark. If you take a look at trees, some of the bark is very smooth. Some of it is furrowed and deep. Some of it is kind of segmented. And so we see a lot of variation in things like that. So if we really want to talk about identification, and we want to talk about being a branch, we want to talk about the faith that we have, what we have to do is we have to go back and look at the source. The source is going to identify who and what we are. Now, there's a lot of people in the world that claim to have faith in God, but what they have is a belief in a system that may or may not be based on what Christ would have us to base it on, and we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. But the fact is that in John chapter 15 and verse 5, Christ very simply stated, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." So right there we have an identity. If we're going to be a servant of God, we have to go back to the source. Well, who's the source? Well, the source is Christ. As I believe Mike used this morning in his sermon on patterns, and that is in John chapter 14 and verse 6. Christ stated, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." And again, Mike mentioned this morning that there's a lot of people in this world that believes that there's many, many paths to God and to heaven. Well, if we believe in God and we trust the statements that are recorded for us by divine inspiration, we realize that Christ is telling us the truth, and that is that if we want to be recognized by God, if we want to go back to that source, if we want to be strong and have the kind of faith that's going to get us to heaven, we have to go back to Christ, because he is the only way. He's that doorway, that portal that's going to put us in the right direction. And so when we take a look at who and what we are spiritually, we have to ask ourselves, are we really identifying ourselves with Christ? And if so, is that based on what somebody else has told us, or is it based on what we know about Christ? Is it based on what we have learned for ourselves by going back to that which God has left us? And of course, that is recorded for us in his word. Over in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, we have a definite identity, because we know that Christ was sent forth from God, and we know that Christ mirrors God in his characteristics. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the writer describing Christ states that he is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. In other words, Christ is a duplicate. He's a copy of God. They are the same. They are both eternal. They are both omniscient. They are both omnipotent. And they are both filled with truth. And they are both the portal that we have to learn about him and to be saved. During the time that Christ was on earth, there were those who would challenge Christ to, if you're the Son of God, why don't you just show us the Father? Why don't you prove who you are? Well, in John chapter 8 and verse 19, there we read that, "Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also." how do we know somebody, how do we know what family they're from? If we're somewhat familiar with a family, we can meet somebody and there's going to be some identifying characteristics that are going to tell us that this person is from that family or this person is related to this person over here. But the same thing is true of Christ. When Christ came into the world, people were challenging him and challenging the teachings that he had, and they basically were trying to trip him up in any way that they could. And Christ basically stated, if you know me, if you really know me, you're going to know my Father. Well, today there's a lot of people who claim to know God. But do we really know God? Do we really know Christ? Do we really know him well enough to have the type of faith that's going to be pleasing to God, that's going to direct our lives in that direction? And we have to ask ourselves, are we really patterning our lives after that? Again, going back to some of the ideas that Mike had this morning, and that is that we see that God has certain characteristics. We see that when Christ came into the world, he had certain characteristics. He taught in certain ways. And as we see from John chapter 14, verse 6, he's the truth. And he gave us his word, which also is truth. And in order to follow after him, we need to strive to be like him. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11, Peter there is talking about the end of time and when Christ is going to come back, and he's talking about the destruction of all things. And in verse 11 he says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now remember, this trunk of this tree or this vine back here that Christ says that you're the branches of is going to identify who belongs to God. Well, how does it do that? Well, it does that because we're going to search our hearts and minds, and we're going to go back and we're going to take a look at what God's Word says, and we're going to ask ourselves some very simple questions, and that is, are we really trying to be like Christ? Are we really trying to be like God? Are we patterning our life after him? If somebody looks at us, would they be able to identify us as a child of God by how we act, by how we talk, by the things that we do, by the places that we go? By our priorities in life, are they going to be able to do those things? If we take a look in the middle of winter, if we go out and we take a look at a tree, we should be able to actually identify that tree. For several years, I tried growing an oak tree. I'd go out, I'd scoop up acorns, and I learned how to float them in water to tell which ones were good and which ones were bad. And then I'd take them and put them in sphagnum moss, and I could actually germinate them, get them to start to sprout. But I never really could get one to grow. Well, finally, the squirrels did me a favor. They planted one. Now I've got one about 5 feet from my front door, and it's about 7 feet tall now, and I love my tree. And I go out there, and I know even in the wintertime, I can go out there and I can look at that bark, and I know that that's an oak tree. When the leaves come out on it later on, that just confirms it, but I can take a look at that trunk, and I know what it is. Where I work, we've got oak trees all over the place, and I can walk around, and I know what oak bark looks like now. I know what maple bark looks like. So we can take a look at things and we can identify that. Can people look at us and look at our lives and can they identify us as being children of God? In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, John states, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." So here's another characteristic of that tree, that vine that we're going to be attached to, and that is that Christ walks in the light. Well, what's the light? Well, the light, of course, is going to be God's Word. It's going to be God's will. Christ was a perfect example of following that, and if we're going to be like Christ, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to walk in that. Well, what's the advantage of doing that? You know, when we take a look at a tree or a vine or something like that, its strength and its health starts with that trunk. It starts with that main structure that's able to do some things for it. And one of the things that it does is it is a source of strength, and it also is a source of preservation. You know, a lot of times we see that a plant will sicken over a very long period of time. We know that trees can die very slowly over a long period of time, but we can take a look at something and we know that if it's got good soil and if it's got good water and everything like that, then we know that it's going to flourish. It's going to get stronger, and it's going to grow and things of that nature. The same thing is true of us. If we want to be pleasing to God, if we want to truly be a child of God, we're going to go back to that source, and we're going to feed off of him. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So what we need to do to keep a plant, a tree healthy, is we need to make sure that it gets fed properly. Well, what about us as Christians? Or what about anybody who seeks to be pleasing to God? Well, we need to be nourished properly. We need to have the strength that's going to help us to withstand all the things that life is going to throw at us. We need to be able to sort out the things that are going to come about in our own heads. We're going to be able to make those decisions. We're going to have to be able to stand strong. And one of those ways is to be fed by that trunk. And that trunk, of course, being Christ, will feed us. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6, we read there, it says, "He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Well, there again is a statement that God is going to preserve his children by giving them the water of life. You know, when Christ talked to the woman at the well, he told her that he could give her the water that she would never thirst again when they were there drawing water from the well. Well, what is that water? Well, that water, of course, is that word that came from God. The word that's able to instruct us, that's able to strengthen us, that's able to preserve us, and that is able to actually mold us into what God would have us to be. So as long as we walk in that direction, as long as we feed on God's word, as long as we are watered by him properly, we're going to be strong. And then in John chapter 6 and verse 63, we read there where Christ states that it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. How many people in this life think that they have really strong faith in God, but they really don't know what God's word says? Or maybe we might have some ideas about something, but we don't really understand what God's word says about those things. Well, what we're going to state here is that in order to have the proper type of faith, we need to know what God's word says. We need to be fed by that word. As Christ states here, the words that I speak, they're the ones that are spirit. They're the ones that are life. Those are the ones that are going to sustain us and build us up. So when we take a look at our spiritual lives, we want to make sure that we're really going back to the proper trunk. We're going back to the source. We're going back to the proper source of all of those things. And then we can take a look from that trunk. If we have the proper trunk, if we have something that's strong, and we know that Christ is strong, we know that Christ has God's words, we know that Christ was the Son of God, and upon departing from this earth, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, by divine inspiration, gave the message that God wanted preserved for all of time. So in God's word, we have those things that are going to make us strong, that are going to help us to become what God wants us to be. Well, as branches, if we take a look at a tree or at a vine, we can tell how healthy it is by how strong those branches are. We know that if those branches are being properly fed, that they're going to be vibrant, they're going to be alive, that they're not going to be brittle, they're not going to be breaking, they're not going to be falling apart and things of that nature. As long as they are properly supported by that trunk, they're going to be just fine. And again, we go back to the statement that Christ made in John chapter 15 and verse 5, and that is that he's the vine and we're the branches. And as long as we remain in him, as long as we remain faithful to him, we're going to bring forth fruit. Now, if we take a look at a fruit tree, when I was growing up, we had some apple trees and things, and over a period of time, we'd have a branch that would die on those trees. Well, what happens to a branch when it starts dying? Well, it's not good for anything anymore, is it? So we go out and we cut that off, and eventually it's going to be destroyed. But the fact is that if we're thriving properly, if we're being well fed, if we are really what we should be, then we're going to bring forth the fruit that we should. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 16, speaking there about Christ and those who are going to follow after him, Paul there states, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches." So in other words, the branches are going to mirror what that trunk is. The branches are going to mirror what the vine is. So if Christ is holy, then we need to strive to be holy as well. When we take a look at our lives, again, we can ask ourselves, if somebody else looks at us and looks at our lives, can they see that reflected in what we do? Can they tell that we're a Christian? Can they tell what we believe in? Are we truly being fed by God's word, or are we being fed by something else? Are we listening to what God has to say, or are we listening to our own opinions or the opinions of others? And that's a very, very big thing that we have to think about. Again, there's a lot of people in this world who have a zeal towards God, as the Jews did in the first century, but it's not according to knowledge. It's not according to that proper path that God would have them to follow. And because of that, they're very mistaken in walking on that wrong path. But we need to make sure that we are really what God wants us to be. And if we're going to be a true branch, we're going to be fed by God. We're going to be fed by Christ. We're going to be fed through His Word. And as we're fed and as we grow, we're going to become stronger. You know, if you take a look at a tree, and again, I'll go back to this little oak tree that's growing in my front door. When the thing was real little, those little twigs coming off there didn't look like they would be able to do much of anything. Well, I don't know how old it is now. It's probably 5, 6, 7 years old, and those little branches are much bigger now. They're a lot stronger. If we take a look at a tree that's maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, those branches have increased in diameter, and they've increased in strength. They've increased to the point that if we were going to go and try to do something to them, it's going to take a lot more effort now than it would when they were very small. You know, when something's really small and just growing, it's very weak. We can go and just take just about anything and knock it loose. But when something grows and gets stronger, it's a lot harder to actually knock it loose or to damage it or do anything like that. As we grow, as we become the branches that we should be in Christ, we should be growing and becoming stronger as well. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 28, Solomon writes, "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch." There is growth to be had spiritually. There is growth to be had in listening to God's word and following after the things that Christ would have us to do. And as we do that, that becomes visible to other people. We become able to do more. We be able at some point to be able to teach other people. We're able to withstand those things. You know, we take a look at a very young plant. You know, sometimes after folks plant gardens, you know, if you look and you have a big storm that comes along right after a garden's been newly planted and the plants are still small, it's kind of easy sometimes for that wind to hit, maybe knock some of them over and things like that. But once something is established and once it has some strength to it, once it has a few years of growth in there, once it actually becomes more solid, it's a lot harder to do that to it. And that's the way we should be as Christians as well. Well, how do we get there? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter tells us that as newborn babes, we should desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. And again, there are people in the religious world who think that they can have faith in God and know about God without really delving into God's word, without really understanding what He has revealed to us. And one of the things we're going to keep coming back to as we go through this lesson is the fact that if we're not feeding on God's word, we're not getting stronger. We're not becoming what God wants us to be, and we're not going to be able to withstand all the things that we need to withstand. And so we need to take a look at God's word. And God's word is going to take us back to that source. Remember, that source is God. God sent His Son into the world to begin that preaching of the message, and then that was handed off to the Holy Spirit, who inspired the writers of the New Testament to complete that. And now we have God's word. So it just simply is a logical progression that if we want to know about God, if we want to become stronger, if we want to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, then we're going to go back to that source. We're going to go back to God's word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, Paul there had a very simple statement to those Christians. He says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, and be strong." So a branch is not going to just immediately just decide when something starts to happen that, well, I'm not going to take this, I'm just going to break loose, and I'm just going to go my own way. We know that a branch is nothing without what it's connected to. Whether it's a vine or whether it's a tree or whatever, we know that that branch only has strength as long as it's actually connected to that which has the roots to it. And we know that as branches, we only have strength when we're connected to Christ. We are only going to be strong so long as we make it our heart's intent to remain faithful to God and to remain focused on Him. And as these branches grow, we realize that they reach out farther. You know, We might see a tree that starts out and the branches are kind of low to the ground, and as they grow, then that tree is going to get a little bit taller. Those branches are going to get bigger in diameter, and they're going to reach out farther. And as they reach out farther, they're going to grab more nutrients, and they're going to be able to support more. Over a period of time, we see things like squirrels and birds that are building in those branches. So now those branches have gone from being minor little twigs and things to now being able to support others and be able to do things that it couldn't do before. And again, we find that there are some principles there that we can use as far as looking at our own lives. In Mark chapter 4, verses 31 and verse 32. Now in this context, Christ is actually talking about the growth of the church and the growth of his kingdom, but we can really apply that to the growth of an individual as well. Beginning in verse 31 of Mark chapter 4, Christ, talking about a grain of mustard seed, he points out that it's the smallest seed that there is, but he says it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And that's exactly the way branches on trees are. You know, as this tree begins to grow, as the branches develop, as they get larger, as they get stronger, they become able to support others. They become able to actually function and do more for that. As Christians, as we grow, we become stronger. As we become stronger, we're able to support one another. We're able to teach others. We're able to reach out to those who are lost, who are looking for God. And perhaps we can start kind of aiming them in a direction that's going to eventually lead them to rendering the type of obedience that they're going to need to render. But all of those things are very productive. And as we take a look at this comparison, those are the things that we need to make as a goal for ourselves. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, we need to realize too that, again, as Christ stated, the branches can do nothing without him. So, again, we take a look at the religious world around us and we see where people have their own ideas about doing things. And we have their own ideas about worshiping. They have their own ideas about what a follower of God is. And again, as Mike pointed out in his lesson this morning, there is a pattern. There's a pattern of obedience. There's a pattern of worship. There's a pattern of service. And all of those things are very clearly spelled out in God's Word. But what happens when we don't follow those? Well, when we don't follow those, then we're not really children of God. We might be fooling ourselves. We can be very zealous. We can be very honest. We can be very intent on doing good things. But if we're not doing them properly, if we're not doing what God wants us to do, it really isn't doing anybody any good. As a matter of fact, it might be doing more harm than it is anything. One of the greatest problems that we have to deal with in this world is there's a lot of really good religious people who are teaching a lot of error. And as they teach that error, they're leading people astray. And eventually those folks will lose their souls because of that. Well, finally, if we take a look at the branches and we take a look at the trunk, we know that we're rooted in the proper source. We know that we're deriving strength from Christ through his word. We know that we're children of God. We're following after him. We get down to taking a look at the leaves. And again, we're going to use the leaves to represent the health of the faith that we ought to have. And when we take a look at a plant, whether it's a vine or whether it's a tree or whatever, we can really tell how healthy that tree or that vine is by taking a look at the state of the leaves. When that plant is thriving, those leaves are going to be, sometimes they're a different color, but most of the time they're going to be some shade of green. And we're going to take a look at those and we're going to see that they don't have any brown spots, they don't have any holes in them, they don't have any problems with them, but they're going to be very alive. And they're going to represent the fact that there's health in that entire plant. And that's exactly how our faith should be. If we are the proper type of branch, if we are thriving, if we are strengthening ourselves and deriving that strength from God and from Christ, then our faith is going to be strong as well. And if we take a look at some of the things that the Bible has to say about that, in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, we see that the real root and the real source of our faith is going to come through the word that God has given us. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 8, Paul states, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We've talked about what happens to people when their faith starts to die. Well, faith doesn't really die. We start killing it, don't we? Well, what are some of the symptoms of that? Well, I've heard in lessons, and I know that this is probably very true, one of the things that a person stops doing is they don't pray as much. But I would have to say that one of the things that really stops even before that is we stop talking to other people about the Bible. We stop trying to reach out to other people and tell them about Christ. We stop doing anything externally. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But why do we do that? Well, sometimes we might feel out of place. You know, it's kind of hard, especially when we're at work or at school or someplace where we're the only member of the Lord's church and we're trying to bring up something, get in some of these discussions, and people have some very liberal ideas about everything these days. And maybe we don't want to stick out like that sore thumb. And so over a period of time, we just stop bringing it up. Maybe we just stop mentioning what the Bible says about things. Maybe sometimes we're just plain scared to do that. Or maybe sometimes we just get to where we don't see that it's going to be very effective, and so we just don't care anymore. One way or another, we stop doing those things. We stop confessing the name of Christ. You know, we stress confession as part of that plan of salvation where we're going to confess the name of Christ prior to baptism, but the fact is that confession is something that continues after baptism. That's one of the hallmarks of a Christian. That is, we're going to confess the name of Christ one way or another, either through our deeds or through our teachings or through trying to reach out to other people. We're going to continually be letting people know that we're a Christian. We're going to continually be trying to do something about that. If we're properly rooted in God's Word, if we're really thriving and our faith is strong, then we're going to be talking about Christ. We're going to be trying to influence other people, and other people are going to realize that. In Romans chapter 16, in verses 25 and 26, Paul there states, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, that now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." Well, our faith is only going to be the right kind of faith if we are rendering obedience to God. Well, what do we obey? Well, we obey that word, this mystery that Paul talks about that was hidden but now is made manifest to all nations. God's revealed it. It's open. There's no mystery anymore. There's nothing hidden. And so because of that, our faith needs to be rooted in that. We don't have to guess what God wants us to do. We don't have to wonder about what we need to be doing to be acceptable and pleasing in His sight, because He's given us all of those things. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We understand those things now, and we have those. And so because of that, we can have a faith that is strong, because that faith is going to have the assurance that the things that we have are true. And when we talk about faith, of course, we could define faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But we go back and we ask, well, where does that come from? Well, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Paul tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we also realize from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we want to be the proper type of branch, if we want to have the type of faith that's going to withstand the world and the influence of the world and our own doubts and temptations and everything else, we're going to keep going back to that source. And how we go back to that source is going to be through His Word. But if we don't do those things, it's just very simple. It's a recipe for disaster, and that is that over a period of time, the branch begins to wither and die. But before that happens, those leaves are going to start dying. Sometimes we'll see a leaf curl up. Sometimes it'll turn brown. Sometimes it will drop off. Now, the leaf doesn't kill itself, and the leaf doesn't decide to leave the tree, but the tree itself, or the branch, starts to die, and so it begins to wither, and it begins to become diseased, and that disease will eventually show up. As a matter of fact, I've seen trees that have actually been dead for a long time, and those leaves still look like they're flourishing. And when you go and you touch it, well, it'll fall off because the stems are dead. But the leaves might just still have enough sap in them to where they've maintained some color. But the fact is that the faith that we have won't leave us, but we can certainly kill it. And we can kill it through negligence, and we can kill it through a lot of other things. And probably the biggest thing that we have to fight with is the world itself. In 1 John chapter 2, in verses 15 through 17, John tells us, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." You know, sometimes when we're talking to people about things that are spiritual and about things that have to do with worship and service, it's almost as if people are very interested in those types of things, but only at times that are convenient for them, or only in certain types of things, in certain types of ministries or certain types of activities that they have. We live in an age and a time where everybody wants to schedule everything according to their convenience. They don't really want to do things, perhaps the way that God wants us to do them. And because of that, God becomes an imposition in some people's life. And when that becomes strong enough, then a lot of people just simply say, well, you know, maybe I'll go to church once in a while, or maybe I'll pray once in a while or whatever, but, you know, I'm just too busy. Well, sometimes we just get too absorbed by the world. Sometimes the activities of the world around us are just so much fun, we just can't let go of them in order to go and go to Bible study. Or maybe sometimes we find ourselves during a week of a gospel meeting thinking, man, I'd really like to stay home. You know, I could get so much done. And it's like, those are all illusions that we have, but those are all indications that we don't have the faith that we ought to have. A person with the proper type of faith and a strong faith looks forward to those times when we can meet together, looks forward to those times when we can study God's Word, and also looks at our own life continually to prioritize our own activities and thoughts so that we're continually asking ourselves, you know what, I don't need to do this or that, because this is what God wants me to do, and it's a lot more important. Those are decisions that we have to make all the time. But for a lot of people who don't have the proper faith, they can kill the faith that they should have by simply loving the world too much, allowing it to get into our heads and our hearts to the extent that we just eventually lose it. And of course, the end result of that is the fact that not only does the faith that we have die, but we as a branch can die as well. And in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10, Christ states that now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You know, the interesting thing is that over a period of time, we can fool ourselves into thinking that we're strong, thinking that we might be acceptable in God's sight. But the fact is that God knows the difference. God knows those branches that are His, and He knows the ones that are not His. And as Christ stated here in the first century, there's going to come a time when God's going to come through, and He's going to trim out those things that are dead, and He's going to gather them up, and He's going to cast them in the fire. In Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, we have a very, very powerful statement here by Paul. This is, again, a very familiar statement that we read from time to time. And here he states, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, if we look around us in the world, we find that there are people who have lost their faith or their belief in God, sometimes because of a tragedy that's occurred in their life, sometimes because of a personal loss, maybe a personal difficulty that they just couldn't get past. And so what happens is they've let go of God. But Paul here very clearly states that there's nothing outside of us that's going to destroy that faith. There's nothing that can come against us that's going to destroy it. If our faith dies, that's something we have to do on our own. We have to let our faith die, or we have to just outright kill it by becoming so indifferent, neglectful, or so in love with the world that God really is more of an imposition than anything that we really want to do. And because of that, we can learn a lot from leaves, and we can learn a lot from the plants around us and things. And again, it's one of those examples that I like to take a look at. And I think God structured even things in the physical world around us so that we can learn those lessons from those things. So finally, we leave you with a question, and that is, how are your leaves? How are they growing? How's your spiritual health? We realize that we don't have to rely on our own strength. You know, life is tough. A lot of times, even spiritually, there's a lot of questions that we have. That's why we come together and we study the Bible. That's why we meditate on God's Word all the time, because there are things that we want to know. There's things that we need to know. There are things that we need to know better. And because of that, we have ways of doing that. But we need to realize that if we do not have the proper type of relationship with God, that we don't have the help that we're going to need. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the writer there states, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now, the fact is, as long as we're faithful to God, life might get rough. Things might happen that we don't really have any explanation for. Or things might get really good. Either one of those situations might cause us to forget all about God. But the fact is that Christ and God are always there. If we will hold on to Him, He'll hold on to us, and He will not leave us. He's not going to forsake us. We might think that He has. We might lose sight of Him, but that's our problem. And we need to focus on Him. We need to realize that He's there. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. You know, sometimes we get just completely overwhelmed by things that are going on in our life. Sometimes, you know, we might be sitting and worrying about something. Maybe we're breaking out in that cold sweat, our heart's pounding, and maybe we just don't know what's going to happen next, and we don't know where our life is going to go. And that's what I like to remember this verse. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, John states, "You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." We have to realize that even though, as Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, where he tells us that we have an adversary, the devil, who walked about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour, we have help. And our help is the Creator of the universe and His Son. And if God can create a universe and send His Son into the world and raise Him from the dead and then inspire the record of His Word, then He can help us get through this life, because He loves us and He cares about us. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, there the psalmist writes that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we can also say that He's there helping us in times when we're not in any trouble as well. That those blessings that we have are also from God, and we need to remember that. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, and again, this is a very familiar passage that we have. We need to realize that when we come together and worship God, we're in His presence. Christ told His disciples, He said, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." And that's a very comforting thought. You know, it's nice to leave the world behind on Sundays and Wednesdays or gospel meetings or other things. It's nice to come in here and close those doors, sing songs of praise to God, read His Word, hear some lessons, study that, talk together, and just forget all of the nonsense that's outside of here. Isn't that wonderful? And then we can take that with us when we leave here, and we can carry it with us every single day. And yet we find that there are people who will neglect that and let go of that. Well, when we let go of that, our leaves are dying, they're falling off, and we're not going to be a branch that's going to be preserved, but we're going to be one that God is going to cast away in the fire. So the question I have for you as we close the lesson here is, what's your spiritual state right now? Are you a branch? Are you really a child of God? Are you the type of child of God that you should be? Have you let your leaves wither and died? Do you need to kind of jumpstart your faith again and maybe take a look at your life and ask yourself some questions? Ask yourself, first of all, what you really believe in. And ask yourself if you really have that relationship with God and Christ that you should have. If you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's body, you're not part of the tree yet, but you can be. And that's what God wants. The reason why God sent His Son into this world is to bring everyone that will listen to Him into that relationship with Him. He wants us all to be His children. All we have to do is simply hear His Word. If we hear His Word, if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we're going to need to act on that. We need to repent. We need to change our way of thinking. We need to stop relying on our own think-sos and the opinions of others, and we need to take God's word for it literally. And we need to start making it our intention to fashion our lives in a direction that He wants us to be living in. If we're willing to do those things, we need to confess the name of Christ. That is an acceptance and an acknowledgement of Christ as the Son of God, but it's also an acceptance of that authority that God has established through His Son. And when we do that, then there's a final step, and that step is to simply come in contact with the blood of Christ. Well, how do we do that? Well, we come in contact with the blood of Christ through baptism. We're immersed in water, and when we do that, then God will take those sins out of our lives and away from us. He'll wipe them clean like they never occurred. We can start all over as a new creature, as well as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6. From that point on, we can build on that faith, and we can be the child of God that God wants us to be. And in building and becoming stronger, we can have that hope of an eternal home with Him. So if you're here today, if you're a Christian who's lost your way, or if you're an individual who is not a member of the Lord's body, we can help you with that. All that we'd ask you to do is simply come down to the front as we stand and sing our song of invitation.